And out in Washington, we're very happy to have on the hotline Representative Don Manzullo, congressional representative for the 16th District. Don, good afternoon.
How are you doing, Doug?
Just super, my friend. So glad you got through to us this afternoon. We appreciate your time as always. You're a good man, and all the best to your dear bride and the kids. And
except for that compliment, I can't even buy a plate of spaghetti at Manzullo.
Or some of that wonderful spaghetza or lasagna.
You know what? I keep on teasing my brother. He won't give me a spaghetti recipe.
Really?
Yeah, my mother never did either.
Well, that's not right.
She thought she gave it to me, but she didn't. I knew it wasn't the recipe, but Italians are very, very...
Yeah. Awesome. You ever notice that, before we get into the heavy stuff, all Italians, too, have their own sugo recipe they don't want to share.
They don't want to share.
No. And you know, like, so I have to use ragu. That's not good.
Oh, you don't want to use ragu.
No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
Maybe better than the stuff that you make yourself.
That's true.
Because you're not Italian.
That's right. I told you, I'm willing to take the blood thing, though, if you guys want to transfer a little blood to make me part Italian, because all you guys are cuz then, right?
Well, we're cousins.
All cuz.
Did you go to any of the St. Joseph altars?
I did not, but I sure interviewed some people that did, and it was... I used to go to them all the time, Don, and I didn't make any this year at all.
Well, they only have two. One at St. Mary's downtown.
Well, Don, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones that used to be in people's homes.
Yes, and I don't think there are any in any homes anymore.
There were a few. I got that word
from...
Valerie DeCastris told me about some.
Oh, well, I saw Valerie at St. Anthony's, and there we had the pasta milanese.
That's what she said.
Pasta with the fish sauce. Oh, it was so good, Doug.
Oh, my God. I should have been there.
Yeah.
And I was told to go there by Valerie and others, too. I didn't make it because I had a thing with the kids up in Wisconsin. You know, a birthday thing. You know how it is. Well, you're not there yet with grandkids. But anyway, I know your time is valuable out there in Washington. Before we do anything else, though, Don, I don't know if you'd been told that a mutual friend of ours had died this morning, Davy Johnson, the former alderman.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Davy died this morning. I know you'd want to know that.
Oh, how sad.
And I talked to Valerie this morning, gave her my condolences. Oh. He's been a friend of mine, a fellow fisherman for years, a Republican alderman and city clerk of Rockford. So I knew you'd want to know.
Oh, that's so sad. You know, I saw Davy. Remember when he, it was one of his elections. He was in a parade in that boat.
Yeah.
And then who was the famous TV fisherman?
Babe Winkleman.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a good buddy of Babe.
That's right, because Babe was with him. But, of course, Davy, you know, couldn't walk very well. So instead of walking, would he have polio?
No, he had arthritis, severe arthritis. And I've known Davy since the 60s. I want to tell you something. In his memory, I never knew anybody that went through so many operations, surgeries, pain in his life, and never whined about it.
Never complained.
Never complained. Just a great, great guy.
But he rode in that boat.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't walk in the parade, and that was a great guy.
Yeah, and Babe Winkleman is, I'm sure he'll be at the funeral. So, but I wanted you to know that. Now, Don, we got to talk to you about, first of all, I was told by Rich Carter that you were on, and I didn't get to see it, on C-SPAN sometime today. What was that about?
Well, I'm on...
Or was it CNBC?
And the issue is obviously the economy.
Sure.
And what government's trying to do about it, which they can't. Government needs to get out of the way and let the economy recover on itself. And so we've been having some pretty hefty meetings or hearings with Chairman Bernanke of the Fed and Secretary Geithner.
Well, that I saw the other day. As a matter of fact, we played that back on the air, recorded it off the network, and that's when you really faced up to Tim Geithner and Ben Bernanke and William Dudley, as I remember.
Yes.
And that was quite an exchange, and you couldn't get a straight answer.
You know, it's really sad. The most people in our congressional districts, including myself, I mean, anybody with an IRA or
401k.
401k, which is now 200.5k, has lost anywhere from 40, 50, 60, up to 70%. And at the same time that we've all lost this money, we individually are incurring debt. The government gave $170 billion to AIG, and AIG honored an insurance contract that some pension plan had with them so that the pension plan would be made whole. I said, whoa, just a second. So we take a hit on our pensions, and then we bail out other pension plans. You can't do that, Doug. That's not fair. And, yeah. I mean, everybody took a hit, and that's bad enough, and I think the economy's going to come back with no thanks to the government.
That's the, you know, I gave the analogy one day about 2 weeks ago on this show. I said, you know, with Obama's plan, this cold, I compared it to having a cold, with treatment, it'll fix itself in a week. With the Obama plan, it'll take 7 days.
Well, it started with George Bush.
Well, the point is, though, that right. We know that the economy in this country is strong. We know that it will come back. This is a worldwide problem. This is nothing created just by the United States. There's a lot of economic problems in the rest of the world. And it's not the worst thing we've ever been through. Everybody makes it sound like the Great Depression. I got to tell you, I remember Rockford.
What makes this different is... In the Great Depression, people had no pension plans. They got wiped out.
They had no insurance on their money in the banks either.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And but comparatively, now it's because of where that is. That's made us different. But we saw some remarkable things in the last couple of days. First of all. Last week, we got the report out that sales of existing homes were up 5%. Okay? Then yesterday, the news totally out of nowhere, sales of new homes are up 5%. That was totally unanticipated. But, Doug, just as importantly for us is that there is, for the first time since July, there is an increase, also 5%, in orders for large manufactured goods.
And that means a lot.
That's huge. These are, you know, I'm looking down that tunnel there, and I'm seeing that light and hoping the best for all the folks that I have the honor and privilege of representing. And, man, I want to tell you, that's the first time in months there's been any increase, and the market is reacting to it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think the market is still up today.
Yeah, 147 as of right now. I just checked that for you on the Dow. I have a question for you about Obama. There's an article in the Nation and World section of our Register Star in Rockford today about Obama's style of bending, not breaking, and how he's had problems with people like Kent Conrad of the Senate Budget Committee, and some other Democrats are upset about some of the things he's done. But he has that ability to cajole and to go directly to the American people like our favorite President Ronald Reagan did. And, you know, he seems to have that ability, going to a nighttime news conference, going on the Leno show, all these things. It seems like he himself is holding his own popularity up there, even though a lot of the people around him are starting to show some weaknesses. But he seems to still be popular.
Yeah, remember they called Ronald Reagan I'm so tired I mispronounced
it. Teflon president.
Teflon president.
Yeah, yeah.
Because things that would just bounce right off him.
Yeah.
And I tell you what we see differently. About 3 weeks ago, he was scolded by Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I saw that.
And and Bill Clinton, you know, I don't care what you think of him, the guy's a very smart politician, and he understands people in an uncanny way that Obama doesn't, but that's because of experience, of years, because he's got, 20 years on him.
Well, according to this article, it says he's distancing himself from former presidents, meaning Carter and obviously Bush and Clinton.
He's still blaming everything on Bush.
Yeah, right. But he's distancing himself from all of them and getting advice.
But it had to be pretty rough for Clinton to go public.
Yeah.
And he told him, because undoubtedly Clinton had told him privately, you can't sit there and complain about this economy and talk about how bad it is with the doomsday scenario. Because that may have worked during the campaign.
Yeah.
And Obama may have to take some credit for the economy slumping because of beating up Mr. Bush for 18 months.
And misuse of the bully pulpit when he first got in. But I think he's turning around a little bit now and talking more positive.
Bill Clinton's advice.
Yeah.
He decided to get positive on it.
White House Budget Director Peter Orszag told reporters the congressional budgets may not be identical twins to what the president submitted, but they're certainly brothers that look a lot alike in his statement. So how do you think this is all going to come out? Are the people going to, you know, get their personal tech, like you had a great idea, I thought, of giving us money directly for cars and houses. That was, I thought, a super idea. That died out. What is this story about the 95% of Americans are going to get this tax cut, but if you look down the road, it looks like it all goes into other fees? And in other words, it's like a shell game.
it's about an extra $12 or $13 a month.
And then there'll be more fees though on a lot of things. So.
Yeah, and then you're increasing fees, but you know what's I mean, first of all, 95% of Americans don't pay income tax. For every 100 people who should be paying income tax, about 18 to 20% don't because they get the earned income tax credit. They get back a refund even though they don't pay income tax.
Wow.
Because they're such low earners.
The poverty level, yeah.
That's right. And the but he wants to increase taxes on people making $250,000 a year or more. Now, that's a lot of money. I know it's a lot less than you make, Doug, but it's $250,000.
Yeah. Well, I've been cut recently, but anyway.
It's a huge amount of money.
Yeah.
The problem is that of the small businesses that are responsible for 80% of the job creation, the people who make $250,000 are the owners of about a third of those small businesses.
Yeah.
And
they create jobs.
I'm sorry, they're the owners of the businesses that employ
that create jobs,
employees.
Right. We've got a caller been waiting since you got on the air. Let's get him on quick. Like, Ron, you're talking to Don Manzullo.
Hi, Ron. How are you?
I'm very good. I want to play devil's advocate here a little bit in regard to your exchange that was on the C-SPAN. First of all...
Which one was it? I've been getting a lot of arguments.
The one that you're talking about, the AIG bailout.
Okay, the being on Tuesday.
Well, what I was
this week, or with Kashkari, or with Geithner and the head of the Fed.
I'm having a hard time hearing.
He was on with two different times, and I just wondering which one you're referring to. The one was with Tim Geithner.
The one where he was questioning
Ben Bernanke.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
I have 2 points to make.
Mm-hmm.
First point is that all of the people that had insurance with AIG were made whole. However, all the funds had the opportunity to buy that insurance from AIG, and because they did not, it turned out wrong. The other point I have to make is there are some questions that you cannot answer yes or no. And I'm going to ask you one now, and you will not be able to answer it yes or no.
You mean, can God build a stone that he can...
On your wife.
Go ahead.
See, you can't answer that.
No, he didn't hear you, Ron. Say it again. Say it again, Ron.
Okay. Have you stopped cheating on your wife? Yes or no?
In other words, he's trying to give you a point that you can't say.
But that wasn't the type of question.
I know, but he's making his point.
Ron, the question, what I was trying to...
We get that, Ron. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. What I was trying to establish with AIG...
Yeah.
First of all, Frieda and I have life insurance through AIG. And Frieda, you know, is a cancer survivor.
Yes.
So she could never get life insurance again. And that was the first question we asked about AIG. But the life insurance side, 4/5 of AIG is walled off. Okay? That's insurance. And because of state of Illinois, deposit requirements, et cetera, the life insurance side of AIG has never been in trouble. The question that I was asking is this: some groups with pension plans took out pension protection insurance from AIG. In other words, to keep their pensions from falling below a certain amount. When the economy went south, most Americans have lost 40, 50, 60% or more of our pensions. At the same time, we've had to bail out AIG so it could honor its pension insurance with those pensions that took out insurance with them. And I was trying to get a simple answer as to whether or not that was in fact the case. And no one would say. I mean, that took 5 minutes.
I know. I played it all back on the air for our listeners that didn't get a chance to see it. We got some other callers on here for you.
Thank you.
J.D. for Don Manzullo, our congressional rep in Washington.
Yes, gentlemen.
Hi, J.D. How are you this afternoon?
All right. I'm doing well.
Good.
Representative. My question is this. My understanding is, and correct me if I'm wrong, the first election I voted in was in 1992, and that was the first time you ran, correct?
That's correct. Actually, I ran in 1990, and I lost the primary.
Okay.
And then 1992, I ran again. We won the primary, then we won the general election. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, my question is this: I had the understanding that you are a proponent, not necessarily of imposing term limits
mm-hmm.
upon people, but you yourself, you only, as I recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, you were only going to run for so many terms.
That's correct.
And could you explain, like, what it is that changed your mind, the reason why you've...
Well, the reason I changed my mind is the fact that when a member of Congress limits himself to terms in Congress, the people he represents end up being on the short stick. Number one is it's the number of years here in Washington has a lot to do with seniority on committees and the ability to move legislation. But it also has a lot to do with the fact that you have to have a lot of experience around here to figure out what the bureaucrats are doing. And if you limit your terms in Congress, then the bureaucrats end up running everything because their lifetime, and they'll wait you out. So that's why I changed my view on term limits. But what's interesting is the longer I'm here, the more conservative I get in my voting record. And I think that's significant.
Thanks, J.D. I'm going to get one more call before I have to take a quick news break. Valerie.
Hey, Viva San Giuseppe. I heard my name was mentioned.
Hi, Valerie. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
Wasn't that wonderful pasta?
Oh, it was wonderful. Yeah, St. Ambrosio Club had a St. Joseph's altar as well.
Oh, St. Ambrosio had it also?
Yes, St. Ambrosio did. Just two members and a guest.
Did your mother or grandmother make the pasta milanese?
Oh, yes. It was great to see you and Frida. Frida looked great.
Yeah.
I just have a quick question.
Yes.
A little bit off the subject, but of concern to Rockfordians.
Mm-hmm.
Congressman, is there anything that you can possibly do to help the poor victims in Rockford that invested with commercial mortgage and finance company that, you know, had survived the depression here?
Yep, the people that got involved with commercial mortgage?
Yes, commercial mortgage and finance bankrupt.
There's nothing that can be done. They were not FDIC insured.
That's correct.
But
however, they misled investors.
Right.
I myself was told personally that they didn't invest in subprime mortgages and so forth, and so there's been, you know, quite a bit of shenanigans going on with that company, and just wondered if there's anything. I know some people were trying to reach you and...
Oh, no, we've met with a lot of people. We talked to several people involved in it. Here's what could have avoided it. When the economy was really, really under tremendous siege in September, we were meeting with Secretary of Treasury Paulson, and we had brought out, our member of Congress from California had brought out the former secretary of the FDIC, I can't think of his name, Simon. And what we were asking the Bush administration to do, and Secretary Paulson in particularly, and we were begging him because the FDIC has the authority to increase the amount of insurance at any FDIC-insured institution to almost any amount. And we were saying, look, there's going to be a run on the banks. And so we were begging the FDIC to get off its, to get off its chair and to move. And if the FDIC had moved quickly, that would have stopped a run on the banks and that would have stopped a run on the notes at commercial mortgage.
Right.
That would have avoided the whole tragedy in the first place.
But on a legal basis, it's basically caveat emptor, I would assume.
Well, it's not. It's a very unfortunate thing. I mean,
nothing much they can do, though, is there? Except
they've been around since 1929.
Yeah,
and they have a tremendous portfolio of real estate, and I don't know if they're in liquidation bankruptcy or in Chapter 11 reorganization. But if real estate comes back, we've seen some lights. Flickering lights, but at least there's some lights, then it's possible that the people at commercial mortgage may have their losses minimized.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Valerie. And Don, have you got a little time for after the news here?
Actually, I can't.
Okay.
Got some other things that I have to do.
Well, that's
do.
Okay. It's always good to hear from you. We'll have you back again, and we appreciate
it. Thanks so much, Uncle Dougie.
Thanks to Rich Carter for setting this up for me.
Bye-bye.
And thank you, Don, and say hello to Frida. Take care.